morning I want to talk with you about, you know, why have a deaf program. Then later on in the afternoon we will talk about some different ways to do that program. And then this afternoon I'll talk more about service, you know, that a program in a local church must be a service, a program to be successful. But this morning, why a deaf program? Some true stories. A boy who was born into a family became deaf from sickness with meningitis when he was 11 months old. When his brother came along one and a half years later, they both grew up in the same place, the same family. They both went to church every Sunday. The one who was deaf never heard a song, never heard a prayer, never heard a sermon, never saw an interpreter, but was still in church. The hearing boy heard every prayer, heard every song, heard every sermon, and when he was 11, he was baptized into Christ. The deaf boy went to an oral school where they tried to teach him without signs, and he had to sit on his hands. And they put earphones on him, though it did not help one bit. And for 14 years, he heard nothing in school. Just saw the teacher's mouth going like that. In church, he went and he saw the same thing. A mouth, no signs, no interpretation. All he could learn in the church was what faces said. Faces. You could see people singing. You could see the face and read that. You could see people bow their heads. And he wondered what was being said. You could see the preacher up there. You could see people go down sometimes crying and then go off in another room, go off into a place where they open up the door and baptize people in water. He could see that. He saw his brother do that. But what was said, what was talked about in the church, any of the teaching? Nothing. Are you surprised when you learn that the hearing boy not only had that advantage of the church life, but he was able to go to a Christian college and have 4 to 6 more years. He was able to meet a Christian young girls and boys and married one girl. And then he was able then to go in and become a preacher for the deaf. Well, the deaf boy, he had no deaf Christian friends. The only girls he knew were non-Christians. And he married, divorced, and is married again. Are you surprised that the deaf boy maybe smoked, drank, got in fights, did not understand the law, and had very little understanding of God and Christ? It's only when the brother, after being in college, met others who interpreted and saw and had his eyes open that you could use interpreters in the church house. So he'd go back and teach his brother the story of Adam and Eve when he's about 20 years old. That is not an uncommon story. I've met many elders who have deaf children who have sat in churches all their life and understood nothing. In Ethiopia, when Gary Blake went over there, he found a deaf girl tied to a tree so they didn't want her to run around and get hurt. No language, so they had to protect her, so they tied her to a tree. John Peace went to Africa to visit the church there and had a fine church. John Peace is a deaf man. And he noticed that in the back of the church house, 3 deaf people were sitting and playing, boys. And they sat in there all during the church services and they just played around while the preacher was preaching to all the hearing people. It's not uncommon to find deaf people just on the fringes of even those of us who are members of the church and have the opportunity to know about Christ, why preach to the deaf? Why have a deaf work? Number one, because deaf people are lost. I appreciated what was emphasized last night by Brother Phillips in emphasizing to us that people are lost. But you may not understand that many people, deaf and hearing, do not think deaf people are lost. What did I think as I grew up? I looked at my brother. I knew that he could not read. I knew that he could not understand the Bible. I knew that he couldn't sing like we do. I never saw an interpreter in my life. Never even thought about that possibility. I just knew that he was a good boy, and he sat with me. But I got the benefits, and he copied me. In 1945, one Wednesday night, he went forward, and the preacher asked a question with his voice, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" He said with his voice, "I do." And everybody in the church cried, and they took him and baptized him into Christ. Somehow, without interpretation, without explanation, without teaching, he understood that a person had to be immersed in water in order to go to heaven. How he learned that, I'm still amazed today. By osmosis, I guess, because I'm just amazed how that happened. But that story just appears over and over and over and over again. I felt, well, God will take care of him. Many brothers and sisters feel that way. Many mothers and fathers feel he's deaf, you know. How can God judge him? He just can't help himself. I think most of us in the church have felt that way almost. That, well, what can you do with a deaf person? They can't hear. And some preachers have actually said that you have to be able to hear with your ears to obey the gospel. They think Romans 10:17 says, how can they hear without a preacher? And they make emphasis on the hearing. And you and I have learned now that hearing comes to the eyes as well as through the ears. I believe the number one task for us in the local church is to help elders and to help deacons, to help brothers and sisters in Christ to believe that deaf people sin. When we read that Romans in 3:23, that all men sin and fall short of the glory of God, we know that means deaf people too. I can tell you about a young deaf boy about 20 years old. I went into the court situation. I met him and I noticed he was in heavy security this time. I'd seen him when he was younger, when he was 11 or 12, and he'd been arrested for, you know, breaking some kind of door at a bowling alley. And it was a small thing. Now I meet him again several years later. There he is, clean, innocent looking face. And I walk, "What'd you do?" He said, "I killed my brother." And I heard the attorney say they're asking that they make the bail at $100,000. I couldn't understand why. Then I heard the district attorney say that he stabbed his brother 18 times. Then through interpreting with him, I learned that, oh, he was defending himself. He thought his brother was trying to kill him, and he was just fighting him off. And when you hear one story, you think, terrible. But as I looked at that innocent face, that young boy, a murderer, deaf people sin. Deaf people get drunk. Deaf people commit adultery. Deaf people lie. They cheat. They're lazy. They're jealous. You name the sin, deaf people do that the same as we do. They do sin. And sin separates us from God. And you and I need to understand that. And if they're lost, then that should put a responsibility on our minds to go and do something with them, to help them understand. Jesus says there's just two ways, the wide way that leads to destruction or the narrow way that leads to heaven. Deaf people need to know the choice that they have. And you and I need to know that most are lost because they've never heard the gospel. And you and I who learn have a responsibility to share with them. I believe in God's providence. put on the board to help. Maybe I definitely catch that word in the spelling. This word is a very strong teaching idea that we find all the way through the Bible. God works. He brings things together. I believe I have a deaf brother for a purpose, and that if I allow that brother's life to go without me seeing how it blends to me, then I've missed God's plan in my life. I think it was not just an accident that when I finally arrived at college, the same year Sam Roach arrived there, hard of hearing, and he wanted to teach the sign language. And one student responded to his answer. And since 1950, Harding College has had some interpreting, some sign language teaching. And that's 50 to now, that's 37 years now they've had someone learning sign language in Harding College, because it happened, Bob showed up there at the same time Sam, and we began something that just spread far beyond our dreams. Providence just happened to be there at that time. We've noticed in Bible at times stories like Joseph, who just happened to be sold into Egypt, who happened to be able to interpret dreams for a butler and a baker, who happened to be able to be remembered and brought before Pharaoh, who happened to be there and interpret the dream for him, and then happened to be chosen to become second person in all Egypt, who then could bring his family into Egypt and protect them, and they stayed for 430 years. Just happened. I think God's providence allowed it to be. And Joseph was smart enough to be able to say, it was not you who sold me here. God sent me here to be able to save your life. I believe that we see the same thing with Esther when she's found in Persia as the queen, and her cousin or uncle, as you interpret it, goes before her and says, maybe this is why you're queen, that you can save the lives of your people. And this is what you need to do. You need to go face the king and risk your life to save the Hebrew people. And Esther hears those words. And you notice Mordecai says, who knows why you're here? Maybe this is why you're here. But if you don't do it, God will find another way. And I believe that to be true with us also, that we are in positions, and maybe that's why you're here at ACU this morning at 8:30, to learn some things that may change all your life in the future. You are being faced with an opportunity or a knowledge or an awareness of a group of people that can only hear about the gospel of Christ through sign language, through people interested in deaf people. But first, we must understand and be hit in the heart that deaf people are lost. And maybe we have a skill or an opportunity to face those challenges with our skill. If we don't, God will find another person to do it in our place, but we would lose the blessing if we overlook our opportunity. I believe we have deaf works because of love. Love of parents who finally have a deaf child. And they say, what do? And they begin to look for answers. And they not only share everyday life through sign language, through oralism, through gestures, through tears. They just do everything they can to help their children learn how to face life. And some of you here because you are parents that love. Many churches have works with the deaf because of parents. It's surprising how fast an elder becomes into deaf work if you have an elder who has a deaf daughter or a son. It's very different to talk to elders that have never met a deaf person. They just don't understand what's involved in that. Many are involved in deaf work because they have brothers and sisters who are so close that they can't be separated. And they have to learn a language. My brother went to oral school and never learned sign language. He and I invented our own language. Gestures, like Kathy talked about yesterday. If you want to go to the store, it was like this. You know, carry big bags of groceries. Go to the store, put the food in. If you want to say tomorrow, you said go to bed once and get up. Oh, day after tomorrow, you go to bed two times. I learned that. It was really funny when I would learn a real sign, and I'd go home and share it with him, or he would share a new sign that he learned from his deaf friend outside of school. And it was just amazing. I understood what this meant, but I couldn't translate it, you know. But then I went to Sam Roach, and he taught me, oh, this means I'm broke. Oh, well, that's right. That's what the English means. I could understand in sign, but couldn't translate it into English. As two boys grow up together, you learn to communicate whatever way you can. And then when I learned the fingerspell, I learned the real signs while in college, I thought, wow, 18 years are wasted. You know, I could have been using fingerspelling and using the real sign language with my brother all these years. And what a waste. Mother and father were taught, don't talk, don't sign. You must talk to him, otherwise you will never learn to communicate. Well, success. My brother passed all of his classes, and you can read about first and second grade level. Stupid, that's why he can't read any better. Is that right? You can play him in any Monopoly game, he'll beat you to pieces with him. You challenge him in any kind of activity that requires sight and action with the hands, he'll beat you. But you give him a book, he cannot read. It's not intelligence, it's just not ability to read. He could not learn that through oralism only. After he was finished with school, we learned that they had a school for the deaf, a residential school that had many different avenues of teaching the deaf, 150 miles from Chicago. I tell you, many, many parents do not know what's available for deaf children because doctors and educators hold them from that. And I think that's something that's changing in the last 10, 15 years. We can rejoice in that, but the churches are responding with help through different programs. And one thing that helps us do that is the fact that we have brothers and sisters who have become deaf, and we want to do something about that. Other deaf people have spouses that are deaf. I'm thinking of Bob Goodson, who married a young girl, and then the girl, after they'd been married about 10 years, became deaf. And Bob had to learn how to communicate. She could talk to him, but he couldn't talk to her. You know, her voice is good. She could talk loud and strong, but here's a husband, how can he talk back? And he learned through sign language to be able to communicate with her and allow her the opportunity to see. You note when two people fuss, if the deaf person is angry, what do they do, Leander? Close your eyes. Or turn the head. Boy, I used to get so angry with my brother because he'd close his eyes and he can't hear one thing, and I couldn't yell, I couldn't talk to him. All I could do is, you know, hit him on the shoulder trying to get him to pay attention so I could get my 2 cents into that fight, because once he closed his eyes, he won. And I was frustrated. Deaf people must be able to see and communicate through the eyes, and if they close their eyes, it's difficult. But wives of husbands who are deaf, or husbands who have wives who are deaf, they become very interested in deaf work. And we've seen some examples of very successful work when you see a Roy Price, deaf man, hearing woman, Robin Price, skilled interpreter, very successful team. You see Billy Level, deaf man, and married to a hearing girl who's an excellent interpreter. You go to Albuquerque, you see Jamie and Larry Swartz. Larry, a deaf man, his wife, hearing, skilled interpreter. And I can go on and name others. Often you see a very successful deaf preacher and you see a very excellent interpreter, some person who became very involved in the deaf work, and they just stay and they give their whole life to deafness. It requires a lot of work, a full-time job as an interpreter, and not every girl can do that. It's a difficult role to play along with all the other responsibilities that comes in marriage. Why do people become interested in deaf work? Because love of friends. Some of you here at ACU, maybe you never thought about deafness before you came, but you met some deaf students, or you met somebody like Jerry Drennan, and you saw someone interpreting, you said, what's that? And you become involved, and you make friends with people like this man here in the front row. And through your friendships, then you begin to develop a skill. Hollis Maynard just stumbled into my room one night in college, and he sat down on our pulpit, you know, that we used to open our Bible up and preach and sing and pray as practice for our work on Sundays. And he looked around and said, what are you doing? He said, we are getting ready to have a worship service in sign language. We're practicing signs. So he sat on the bed, began to observe, and now has become, from that beginning, one of the best teachers of ASL in the world. He just is very, very skilled in sign language, led through just a falling into a room, you know, providence just happened, right? And now we have a great, great worker for the Lord for over 30 years as a preacher and a teacher of sign language, one who understands deaf people and loves the deaf. So through friends, some people become interested in having a deaf work. But I want to impress on us also that it's not only parents that love the deaf, and brothers and sisters, and spouses, and friends. God loves the deaf. We see evidence of God's love over and over and over again in Old Testament all the way through the New. But the Old Testament impresses me with several verses. One is found in Leviticus 19:14, where the warning is, you shall not curse the deaf. And I've often wondered, why would people curse the deaf? Maybe they tried to yell at them 2-3 times, they couldn't get their attention. Maybe they had to throw dirt at them to make them turn around and help with the farm work. I don't know. But God warned against cursing the deaf. And then remember when Moses was asked to go to Egypt and to lead the people out, he said, I can't talk very well. And God says, I'm the one who makes the mouth and makes the ears. I'm the one who makes the deaf. God knows about deafness. God allows deafness. And there seemed to be some kind of purpose involved in it. You notice how carefully through all the prophets' teachings in the Old Testament that God says things like this, that justice is more important than worship, that mercy is more important than going through a ceremony every day, that the way you deal with each other in your everyday life is more important than religion that has nothing from the heart. He just says that through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, Hosea. I can just read verse after verse where he emphasizes that religion is a way of life. Religion is a relationship between people and God and between each other. And when religious people ignore each other and ignore their fellow man, God is upset with them and is not interested in their religion. See how many times he talks about the orphan and the widow and the alien and the poor person, the one that has to live off the gleaning of the fields. And then you understand God loves deaf people and any person that could be in a minority or a group of people that are down for some reason. And if that's so, if all these statements are true about love from all these people and God, then I think we as Christians have a big responsibility to be aware of deafness and then to make sure our congregations meet that challenge. I think others of us have become interested in the deaf work because of just opportunities to serve. In Park Avenue, a deacon of the church there had a little daughter that was deaf, beautiful. And that's why the deaf church began in Indianapolis. Hollis moved there because of that girl and began a church work. And after 4 years, the church had grown to about 40. He moved to Louisville, Kentucky. I moved to Indianapolis, Indiana. And I remember Leanne Moore right here came up that first year I was there. After I was there 6 months, had a meeting, And in 2 weeks, baptized 30 deaf people in the church. Just grew. We had a big church in Indianapolis at that time. 70 active members out of 100 that were baptized during a several year span. Why a deaf church there? One deaf girl was in the church and had no one to teach, and someone saw the need and so began to call leaders into and help in that situation. Why the deaf church in Chicago? My brother's there, and they, after I came back from college and did some interpreting, others became interested in interpreting, and now they have a woman there, beautiful, a woman from the University of Chicago who just interprets every Sunday and has done so for 20 years or more, and train other people to become interested in the deaf people. Why in Ethiopia? Well, the missionaries went there and they could not have any missionaries there, and they said you had to do some work. And they looked around and said, what kind of work? They said, well, if you work with the deaf, establish a school for the deaf, then you can be missionaries. And so, poop, established a school for the deaf in Ethiopia. And it's a fantastic work that has opened the door to saving many hearing Ethiopians through famine relief, through preaching the gospel, and churches have just spread all over there. But also a very fine deaf school that began with one missionary going over there knowing sign language and beginning to learn the sign language. Why to begin a deaf work? Well, in California, there's a preacher living here, and right behind him was a deaf couple. And he said, I want to talk to them. And so he began to be interested, began to look around and find someone who could work with the deaf. And he found two deaf Christians in Long Beach. And they began to come up and meet, and through interpreting and writing back and forth, they became aware of deafness and wanted to work. And that established a church in California. In Little Rock, they had a deaf school. So Harding College, every Sunday, young people would get up at 6 or 7 and leave and drive all the way to Little Rock and teach in the deaf school, the white school and the black school that they had when we were there in 1950s and 60s and 70s. Just the fact that it's a deaf school and someone wanted to learn the sign, Sam Roach, said we need to go there and help teach the deaf. Why teach the deaf? Yesterday or last Sunday, I met a man from Hanford, California. And he said that two people moved from Southern California to Hanford, a small town, and no one's there can interpret. They wanted to live there. He had a job there. And so people in the church began to learn sign language and began to interpret. And then from that point on, they've had someone interested in the deaf ever since. Why, I need to ask Jerry, why did you begin to be involved in sign language here? Jerry, you're a professor in AC University, and you sort of stumbled into it. Is that right? Why don't you tell us a little bit? Yeah. Okay.
A deaf couple moved to Abilene and refused to go to the Baptist church where they had an interpreter. They wanted to go to the Church of Christ. Two ACU students, one from San Antonio and one from California, knew it sign language. They met this couple, came to our congregation and asked permission from the elders to interpret sign language, to interpret the services. Then the elders got a little concerned and called a group of us deacons together and said, these kids are going to graduate. Who's going to interpret? Who's willing to learn? At that time, I was working on my doctorate and was previously at work almost entirely with young people. And I was between ministries, and so I said, well, I'll do this temporarily. I'll learn sign language. And then Lloyd Williams told me I couldn't quit. So I was forced to keep on.
And now, because of that happening, just by chance, Jerry Drennan has now helped train many students in the university, and many of the students here become interested in special education, have gone on to become teachers for the deaf. And many of them will become missionaries and teachers, but many interpreters for the deaf right here at ACU. Why? Well, opportunity knocks, and we step through. 5 years ago, you never thought about sign language, right, Linda? You never even dreamed about it. But you have a parent that's going to be dreaming about it until that daughter is married to a fine man, and then be watching for grandchildren all your life and be involved in deaf. You just cannot let go. Why work with the deaf? Because of love, because of opportunity, because of the challenges that come, and all of us stumble into it sometime. I'm hoping that through lectures like this, you and I will become more aware of how to share it with local congregations. Elders do not understand the deaf work. Preachers do not understand the deaf work. The people in the church do not understand deafness and understand how to work with deaf people. You and I are just learning, and every day we learn more, because most of the time the people who are doing the preaching and the teaching are hearing. I wanted to say I was a little bit sad that I'm here today. Why? Because Lloyd should be here. It's his class and his privilege, and I think it's much better to have a deaf man tell us about deaf work than a hearing man, one who has done it for 30 years or 35 years or more. But I'm happy, too, that Lloyd's in the Philippines, because he's working there baptizing deaf people into Christ. So I'm happy I'm here, you know, to take this place for Lloyd. You have mixed feelings, but because of some people's success in the local work, like Lloyd and Leander and other deaf men, just makes us feel a privilege to be working with them. And we get some benefits from this strong fellowship that are very, very real. I may need to say that when you show an interest in a deaf community, you are responding, I believe, to God's love and responding to the caring nature that the church has to have and that Christians have to have. I think true greatness is service to other people, but we need to be very careful that we do not go into this work as, oh, I'm going to be the godsend to deaf people. You know, I'm here and I'm hearing and I love the deaf and I have a deaf brother, so now I will serve God and serve the deaf. I think we need to watch, you know, our loyalties and watch our purposes, watch our goals for the work with the deaf. I've heard people say that, well, if you can't do anything, you can't preach for the hearing, go preach for the deaf. And I'm saying just the opposite is true. I like maybe to share with the teachers who are in the deaf program and special ed. Are they the weakest teachers in the school system? Are they the people that fail in their ability to teach other people? That's why they're in the deaf education program? It's been my observation that you need special skills to work with the deaf. You can't, if you can't work with hearing people, possibly you cannot work with deaf people. If you have personality problems with hearing, maybe you'd have a personality problem with the deaf. They require more. It's a lot of work and a lot of responsibility, and we cannot enter it with a do-gooder attitude that can be misunderstood by deaf, and maybe you might misunderstand what I'm saying. I remember Paul talked about this last year at Birmingham, and some felt like he was putting down all of us who are working with the deaf and saying, well, you're in here just for pats on the back. You're in here because you can't do anything else. And he was not saying that. He was saying that some people have the attitude about that. Well, he can't make it as a regular preacher. Let him go in the deaf program. We've heard that at Sunset sometimes. And I don't know if you heard it here at ACU. Well, you can't become a teacher. Well, go into sign language and learn to work with the deaf. You know, you don't have to know as much. That's just not so. I want to be careful with that attitude or that idea. It requires a lot of skill and more work. I believe that if you and I have arrived at this place here, that there's challenges facing us, that if we don't answer it, then God will find other people that will do it. But we have an opportunity. Let's learn from it and share and go on. Okay. A little more time. I'll go on to the next part. I want to talk now about different ways of working the programs in your local church. What's the best thing? What's your goal? Okay. I'm going to say that, first of all, the ideal, in my opinion, the best way to work with the deaf is to get a very fine, well-trained deaf man. I think it ought to be a goal of every deaf congregation to have a skilled preacher who's deaf. Now, what's the advantages of that? Well, one thing, a deaf man communicates with other deaf people. A deaf man understands the deaf. Teddy Hensley, who's here, he can talk all night with deaf people. Man, I'm tired at 11, 12. I want to go to bed. But Ted knows a deaf culture, and he would just talk all night with them and just stay, and never become tired. As a hearing person, I become tired. I enjoy deaf people. I enjoy preaching for the deaf. I enjoy the fellowship. But I'm also glad that I can go home and turn off the hands and just sit and watch the news without interpreting and talk with my friends without signing, to be able to listen. I just, that relaxing. But if a deaf person comes in, you're tense all the time. You have to interpret everything. TV's on, interpreting. You're talking around the table, you're interpreting. A phone call, you have to interpret what was on the phone call. It's just a full-time interpreting thing. My family says that when deaf people come to our home, then I don't do any talking to them. I pay attention only to the deaf person. And my wife and the children just fade off, and I pay attention to them until the deaf person leaves. Then I'm relaxed, and now I'm hearing again, a father and a husband again. Why? What? You cannot be around deaf people without including them into the activities. In the room, then you must sign. It's easier for me to speak without signing. But we have two fine deaf people here. I need to sign. That cuts into my English and cuts into my thinking process. But they're here, and it's important. And that's just a big responsibility. I think a deaf man is totally involved in the deaf world. He cannot get out of it. And a deaf person, a deaf preacher, brings that to the pulpit, brings that to the church work. And I would just recommend that all churches, if you begin to work with the deaf, you look toward that goal when you can have a deaf man preaching to deaf men and women as an example to deaf boys and girls growing up. In the educational situation, I would prefer to have deaf teachers to deaf children. I think they'd be better teachers. Now, that's saying if they're equal in other things. You know, if you have a deaf man who does not know the Bible, and you have a hearing man who's skilled in sign language and knows the Bible, and deaf people understand them, then what would you choose? Choose the hearing man who knows the Bible. A deaf man with no knowledge of the Bible, how can he teach? Here's the deaf man who has a high temper, and he bawls people out, and he does not get along with people. Because he's deaf, that makes him a qualified preacher? Not necessarily. But if the two are skilled equally, then I think our goal would be to train deaf men to become preachers for the deaf, and they will be the better workers. And I've noticed that churches where they have deaf men, especially with a woman, a wife interpreter, those men are being more successful than maybe some of the other people. It's kind of interesting to notice that. But not all women could serve in that role as an interpreter full-time with a deaf man. Other advantages. I think a deaf person serves as a model for the younger people. The children can look and follow and say, where most of the time deaf boys and deaf girls see hearing people doing the teaching. Jerry's saying he went to teach a class recently, And people are surprised to find a man able to sign. Like all the life they've seen women signing, you know, and doing the teaching. And now here's a man that can go into a classroom and teach deaf boys and girls. I think a deaf man in the church in a teaching situation is better. It's a role model. Here's a teacher of deaf boys and girls in science in the high school. And I just know, and I've seen many of his students who thrill every time they see Leander Moore, and they remember the classes in science. But I've also noticed the many people that I know that have seen him preach and have been baptized by him all over the United States, the great skill that he has in bringing the gospel through the language of science. And it has taught us and encouraged us through the years. The best for a local church is for you to work toward that possibility of having a deaf preacher. Some disadvantages to a deaf preacher. It's hard to get full support for a deaf man. Why? He's working 1, 2, 3, 10, maybe after many years, 20, 30 people. Well, deaf preacher, he does not need as much money to eat and to buy a house and to drive a car as a hearing person, does he? Sure he does. You have a hearing preacher who buys a house and a car and insurance and raises a family, and you have a deaf preacher who has to do the same thing, but because he's working with 10 people and he's working with 2,000, we'll pay him way. And how many elders will spend equally for the deaf preacher as they do for the hearing preacher? We count numbers, don't we? And it's very difficult to sell a program to churches that would support a deaf man so he could live on that salary. And it's very difficult. And if you begin to see, well, there's a missionary over in Ethiopia and they're baptizing 100 and the hearing church is growing every year. We have 2,000 and the deaf have 4 deaf people. Well, we're having money problems. Let's cut the deaf work because it's touching the fewest lives. And that's a real, real problem. And it's very difficult to solve that. It just means selling the responsibility that's involved with the deaf work. Another problem, deaf men cannot communicate with elders as well as a hearing person. I'm thinking about John Peace in the Philippines. We've been encouraging him to write letters and let us know about his work. Lloyd Williams, Kathy's daddy, went over there, was there just 1-2 days, and he wrote a beautiful letter, and both Hollis and I said, we wish John could write like Lloyd. He could do much better in getting support for his work over there. If he can communicate that well with hearing people. We know John has the ability, but he just hadn't had the experience yet. John Peace in the Philippine Islands. He asked, who was John? Assigned J. But John is now just learning how to communicate. Lloyd, skilled a missionary for many years, and he knows how to talk to elders, and he knows how to talk to hearing people. But still, Lloyd has had trouble in the past of keeping support of elderships. And he's a very skilled preacher, very knowledgeable, but communication with elders. Easier for Bob to go in and talk and keep the elders aware of my needs about deafness. I talk to them and teach them, and the elders all respond to Bob. They respond to Hollis. They can listen to a Jerry Drennan. But it's hard to hear Leander. What's Leander saying? What are you feeling? What's inside? Leander feels uncomfortable maybe, and Lloyd feels, how can you communicate with these people that don't understand deafness? And you can begin to name difficulties. So many deaf people do not communicate well with the leaders. And if you don't have that fellowship, you don't have that communication, you're not in each other's homes like the hearing man is. It means it's easier to cut, it's easier to overlook, it's easier to not be aware of what's happening. Okay. How long am I supposed to go, Jerry? Till 9:30? Okay. You have a class you need to leave for. Appreciate you coming. The ACU students must leave for class at this time. I notice another disadvantage that deaf preachers have is the inability to use the telephone to many people. Now, this is changing through the TTY, and that's helping a lot. But many, many deaf people need help through the telephone, and the deaf preacher cannot do that. I'm noticing in Lubbock, Texas, I'm getting a lot of phone calls or a lot of requests from deaf people from other churches. So they have a deaf preacher, and they come over to Hollis and come over to myself, and we help them with their insurance and help them with their medical problems. They just need a hearing ear to help them, and they know that we can sign, so they come to us. A deaf man may not have that skill or that use of the telephone that could help them, you know. And so that's a disadvantage sometimes that a deaf preacher has versus the hearing. The other problem is, where do you find the deaf men with the skills? You know, hey, yeah, I want a deaf preacher. Where is that skilled preacher? Where can I find one?
There is a
class. So we need to stop. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm learning that there's another class coming. So we will continue this at 11 o'clock then. 11 o'clock, we'll begin again, you know, just from where I stop now.